Tonight, we come together in memory of a little child who came into the world as a messenger of God to announce the advent of a new cosmic and spiritual event. The child, a symbol of innocence and purity, lived off the light from on high, as no mortal in recent times has done, save the prophets of old who at the end of their earthly lives gave up the eating of earthly food. Such is the case of the patriarch Enoch, who before passing out of the world said to his children, "Hear, children, from the time the Lord anointed me with the oil of his glory, there has been no food in me, and my soul remembers not earthly enjoyment, neither do I want anything earthly." We may also recall Jesus at the Last Supper, when he broke bread with his disciples, saying, "Verily, I shall drink no more of the fruit of the vine until the day I drink it anew in the kingdom of God." And we know in this community that that last meal was a sacred rite symbolizing the great messianic banquet to come in the end times, when God would serve up heavenly food of spirit and soul, giving life eternal and life-giving nourishment. Jesus, as the child Jamil, came from the original world, the worlds of light, in which there is no pain, sorrow, suffering, or death. They came into the world guised as human beings, but taught that salvation was restricted to the spirit, and that resurrection or rebirth of the soul is essential if one is to inherit eternal life. The physical body has no place in the worlds of light, and the child Jamil demonstrated this. That an authoritative seer child should appear in modern times is not without prophetic precedent. The final descent of a cosmic being in the guise of a child genius, a bringer of peace and truth, has a long history behind it, spanning many thousands of years. The Dead Sea Scrolls mention an expected wondrous child, a divine counselor bearing unmistakable body marks, who would come at a future time to inaugurate a new age. Chosen of God, his life and very breath were to be preordained. Like Moses and Jesus, who displayed advanced full-grown natures early in life, the child prodigy would attain early maturity in his second year, revealing heavenly knowledge to which the average mortal does not have access. In the Hebrew scriptures, the prophet Isaiah wrote of a coming new age of peace, at a time when the wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. Jesus, who spoke in cryptic parables to his disciples, mentions the coming child in allegorical terms. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, Verily, I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And who shall receive one such little child in my name, receiveth me. That is the Gospel of Matthew. Now also in Mark, we can read, people were bringing little children to him in order that he might touch them. And the disciples spoke sternly to them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them. For it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as little children will never enter into it. And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. The mystical Gospel of Thomas contains secret words spoken by Jesus to Thomas, which again refer to the little child. And Jesus says, Let the old man heavy with days hesitate, not to ask the little child of 7 days about the place of life, and he will live. At another time, Thomas asks Jesus prior to his crucifixion, Lord, why does the visible light which shines for men's sake rise and set? The Savior says, O blessed Thomas, the visible light shines for your sakes, that you might not remain in this place, but that you might come out of it. But when all the elect lay aside the animal nature, then the light will withdraw to its true being, and its true being will take it unto itself. Later on, Jesus says, If they say to you, From where have you originated? Say to them, We have come from the light, where the light has originated through itself. And it revealed itself in their image. If they say to you, Who are you? Say, We are the sons, and we are the elect of the living Father. Now, ancient Persian books speak of a coming child who will be taken out of the world, but who will manifest himself in light. He is called the child of the word. It is said that after his passing, great prodigies would appear in the sky, and a light would be seen shining, a light that would outshine that of the sun. There exists in India an ancient mythic tradition that at some future time, a miraculous babe, the Mahapurusha Chakravartin, would come into the world. And this legend goes back to the earliest of Vedic tomes, the oldest sacred writings of Hinduism, and before to the pre-Aryan traditions of India. Mention is made of this legendary babe in various Buddhist and Jaina writings and in the Hindu Puranas, as well as any many other works. The best description of the Chakravartin is to be found in the Buddhist Pali Canon of Ceylon or Sri Lanka. The miraculous babe would be recognized by distinguishing marks on his body, and his coming into the world would be to fulfill man's longing for universal peace and tranquility under a just and creative cosmic power. The wondrous child would be accompanied by a luminous sun set in the firmament. Indeed, the symbol of the Chakravartin is the Neolithic sun wheel. In essence, the sun itself. He would proclaim that the old sun, the light and life of the world, would experience a transformation. And the new sun would shine healing rays upon all living things without distinction. An Islamic legend tells of a coming divinely guided one, the Mahdi, or the awaited deliverer. And with the advent of the Mahdi, humankind would experience or enjoy greater blessings than ever before. The term man of the Mahd, Mahd meaning cradle, is given reference. Another story recites that the Mahdi shall live a few years and then be taken out of the world, and that he would be marked with a seal of prophecy. In ancient Egypt, the principal religion was that of light, the father of illumination. And it is interesting to note that in the center of the temple of Anu was the hall of the altar with entrances facing east towards the rising sun and west towards the setting sun. Beyond this hall was the great hall of the child, depicted in a cradle. And there were also representations of the sun child sitting in a lotus. The future advent of the miraculous babe, the boy child endowed with fabulous attributes and marked with auspicious body signs, was also recorded in the Zoroastrian Zend Avesta, as well as in the ancient and revered Sibylline oracles of apocalyptic imagery honored by Jews and later by Christians. The oracles inspired Virgil's epic fourth eclogue, which was one of the most discussed poems in Latin literature, that treats of the wonder child of God to be sent as a king from the sun, at whose birth the transformation of nature and the intensification of the golden age signs would begin. Eclogue 4 says, "But at the time when heavenly grace shall rule, and when a holy child one day shall utterly destroy all wickedness, opening the baleful mortals the abyss. Thrice happy who shall live unto that time, man or woman, for good law shall come in its fullness from the starry heaven upon men and good justice. And then from the sunrise, God shall send a king who shall give every land relief from the bane of war." The transformation of nature and the intensification of the sun are to be the first apocalyptic signs of the dawning of the golden age. Malachi, God's messenger, prophesied this event with the words, which we all know well. See, the day is coming. See, the day is coming. Burning like an oven. When all the arrogant and all evildoers will be stubble. The day that comes shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, and it will leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings, and you shall go out leaping like calves from the stall, and shall tread down the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I act, says the Lord of hosts. The Mandeans, who were said to have descended from the remaining Jewish tribes in Babylonia, and who traced their ancestry to John the Baptist, preserved ancient scripture that has much in common with the Essene literature discovered at the Dead Sea. And their religion speaks of the powers of light and darkness and the two spirits of man. The following eschatological quotations from the Ginza, or the Great Book, refer to the messenger of light, who appears over the ages to open the way of salvation for humankind. And it says, I am the messenger of light, whom the great God sent into the world. The true messenger am I, in whom there is no falsehood. Whoever receives God's word and doctrine, his eyes are filled with light, and his mouth is filled with praise, and his heart is filled with wisdom. I prepared a way for the good ones and made a gateway for the world. Now, in preparing my homily this evening, I found something very interesting in the book of Revelation. And this is from the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation. I'd like to read it to you this evening because I think it has something very interesting to say. A great portent appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. She was pregnant and was crying out in birth pangs in the agony of giving birth. Then another portent appeared in heaven, a great red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 diadems on his heads. His tail swept down a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. Then the dragon stood before the woman who was about to bear a child, so that he might devour her child as soon as it was born. And she gave birth to a son, a male child, who was to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. But her child was snatched away and taken to God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness. And the woman fled and was placed before God, so that there she could be nourished for 1,260 days. Now, why do I read this? We all know the book of Revelation is a very hard book to understand and to decipher. However, I was doing some numbers this afternoon. And if we take the birth of Jamil from March 16th, 1959, to his passing on January 29th, 1962, that is 1,049 days. We know that he was 2 months premature, so if you add 7 months in the womb, it equals 1,260 days, which is in the book of Revelation. Now, this is just me, so it's something to ponder. It could be interesting, or it could mean nothing, but I found that interesting this afternoon. I will conclude this evening's homily by saying, that the short but wondrous life of the child Jamil, who appeared in our modern age, as we all know, is recorded in the book. He was a messenger of light, whose revelations give new hope for humankind's spiritual aspirations. As a supernatural messenger, he was aloof to the admiration and praise of others, but he endowed the world with the keys to salvation. That he passed away at the age of 3 seems to be in keeping with the following Mandaic prophecy that tells of the messenger of light abandoning humankind and returning to immortal realms. And it says, how many times have I come into the world? How many times they took not notice of me? With my final proclamation, I depart this world, never to return. My spirit and my soul return to God. So, we, the members of the Order of the Holy Child, carry on his legacy and ensure that his transformative teachings are preserved for those evolved souls for whom it was intended.